Welcome to the message podcast of Catalyst Baptist Church, a vibrant church with two campuses located west of Melbourne, Australia. Dedicated to creating a welcoming and safe space for everyone to explore and grow their faith in God, our vision is to see hope multiplied within our community and around the world. We hope this podcast serves as a source of encouragement and spiritual growth for you. Thanks for listening, and we look forward to journeying with you in faith.
My name's Stan, and I'm the lead pastor, and it's my privilege today to continue in our Even If series. And I was reflecting on what we're talking about today, and I remembered a few years back, I went to a birthday party for my three-year-old granddaughter. And when I went to this birthday party, there was a lot of people there that I didn't know. So immediately, I go into assessment mode to make sure all these people are okay to be hanging out with my granddaughter. You know, some of them are 4 and 5 already, and, you know, it's just really risky. But the weird thing was, as I started getting introduced to a few people, I was being introduced as, this is Hattie's grandpa. And in that moment, my identity was attached to a three-year-old. And I thought I had my own identity in this world. And then a few years even earlier than that, I was with Pastor Deanna at a book launch. And it wasn't my book, right? I don't have any of those written. But Pastor Deanna had contributed to a book, and she had already had her research published and stuff. And the editor was there. And as, again, there's a lot of people I don't know. And I think Deanna took me along just as eye candy for the day. And that wasn't funny. And as I started getting introduced around, I was being introduced as Deanna's husband. And I'm like, come on. Now my identity is attached to that, you know? And it's just so crazy because we live in a world and a culture that is obsessed with recognition. And you can go viral for dancing with your dog and putting it out there for everybody to see. Everyone wants to be seen. We want followers. We want likes. We want platforms and influence. But today we're going to talk about something a little on the other side of that. Even if I'm unknown, even if I go unnoticed, even if the things I do aren't acknowledged, I work hard, I empty the dishwasher, and nobody cares. Nobody even notices. We're in a series called Even If, choosing faith when life is fragile, feels fragile. And we've talked about even when life is hard. We've talked about even when it hurts. And we talked last week about even if I'm last. Well, this week we're talking about even if I'm unknown. And if you missed any of those other ones, go back to our YouTube, go to all over the other places, our app and stuff, and get caught up. But have you ever noticed your resume reflects not so much who you are as it reflects what you've done. Resumes tell us what a person has done, not who a person is. Anybody had to do a resume lately? You look amazing on paper, don't you? It's not paper anymore. It's electronic and everything. But, you know, what I was thinking about this. What if heaven came calling and said, send me your resume? What would your resume look like? What would it say? Not about your career, but about your character. What would it say? Not about your successes, but more about your service. See, most of us want our lives to matter. We want to know that the things that we are doing actually mean something and actually make a difference. Yeah? Anybody not want that for your life? Often we measure it by how visible we are, how many people know our name, how many people notice our effort, or how many people applaud what we do. What if the real measure of making a difference was something else? What if it wasn't or isn't all about you or me? Paul reminds us that impact is not about being seen, that the kingdom of God doesn't advance through celebrities. It moves forward through servants, through people who quietly, steadily, people who just keep showing up, serving well, and staying the course. So now I want us to learn from this guy who's writing a letter in prison, has no stage, no platform, no spotlight, but yet he made an eternal impact. And you might be sitting there thinking, well, hang on a minute. You've told us before he wrote about half of the New Testament and everything. That's a pretty big stage. He didn't know he was writing the New Testament when he's sitting in a prison cell writing letters to his friends. Paul has just finished in Philippians chapter 2 holding up Jesus as the ultimate example of humility and servanthood. And then he even talked about himself. He encouraged the Philippians to follow his example. But then Paul, smart guy, knows what they're thinking. It's like, okay, I can't be like Jesus. Hey, we were having some trouble this morning with some technology and everything. And I reminded the team, it's like, Jesus didn't use a microphone. Yeah. And they were like, we're supposed to be like Jesus. But everybody's like, we can't be Jesus. These people would have been thinking that when Paul put Jesus out there as an example. And even himself, they would have thought, yeah, Paul, that's easy for you, but you're like this spiritual giant. You're super spiritual, and you had this experience with Jesus on the road to Damascus and all that, but we're not there yet. So Paul tells them about a couple of other guys. He points out two ordinary people who were not apostles or prophets or miracle workers of any kind, just faithful servants. Their names are Timothy and Epaphroditus. They had no platform, no podcast, and no profile, but they were faithful servants. He says, let me show you two resumes that may get overlooked here on earth, but they're going to stand out in heaven. He wants the Philippians to see that living a life of sacrifice, a life of humility, and a life of service is an invitation for everyone. It's for all of us. Paul starts with Timothy. He says this, if the Lord Jesus is willing, I hope to send Timothy to you soon for a visit. I have no one else like Timothy who genuinely cares about your welfare. All the others care only for themselves and not for what matters to Jesus Christ. He says, I have no one else like Timothy. In Paul's day, concern for other people was not high on most people's priority list. Self-focus was prominent. Now, we can't relate to that at all, right? Christians in Rome were not interested in what was going on in Philippi. He couldn't find one person that was willing to go to Philippi. So he wants to send Timothy. Then he says this. But you know how Timothy has proved himself. Like a son with his father, he has served with me in preaching the good news. So here we start to see Timothy's resume. Timothy's resume was faithfulness over fame. Timothy wasn't a rock star. He was faithful. And you have a little summary section in your resume. Timothy's summary would have been, there we go. Genuine concern for others, proven character, faithful in all seasons. What if you put that on your resume? You think that would get people's attention? Might not get you a job, but it'd probably get their attention. They say, what is this whack job, you know? And then the highlight, he would have gone from maybe the book of Proverbs and what Solomon said about a good name is more desirable than great riches. That would get my attention if I'm getting ready to interview. It's like, okay, he doesn't want a lot of money. Yeah, he just wants a good name, maybe a good title or something like that. You see, Paul was Timothy's spiritual father. He mentored Timothy. He almost called him Timmy. Timmy was up here worship leading. It's different Timothy. All right, he discipled him and he recruited him as a co-worker. And what we see about Timothy, if we look through everything we know about him, we'll see that he had character over recognition. Character was the most important thing for Timothy. His reputation wasn't built overnight, but Paul tells us that he has proven himself over time. See, Timothy had to develop and cultivate what we were talking about last week, what Pastor D was talking about last week, the mind of Christ. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Jesus. That didn't come overnight. He had to cultivate that. Timothy grew roots before he grew branches. He had to go deep before he went wide. He was doing both, but he had to go deep first. There had to be some substance about him and his character before he could have influence outside. Paul didn't add Timothy to the team the day he was saved. He didn't say, okay, you're my right-hand man now, as soon as he got saved. He mentored him. He left Timothy for others to disciple him. Timothy got ministry experience through training in obscurity and through serving and through discipleship. See, character is not something you get with a title. You know, a lot of times when people go and they look for jobs and everything, they find a great job because their resume looked really good. ChatGPT did a great job for them. And yeah, and then they actually start the job. But if they don't have a strong character, it doesn't last. They can get in the door with their competence and maybe their charisma, but it's the character that's going to keep them there. That's what Timothy was on about. Character is not something you get with a title. It's something that God grows in the dark before he reveals it and displays it in the light. Not only did he value character over recognition, he also valued care over ambition. Paul said, I have no one else like Timothy who genuinely cares about your welfare. Timothy really, really cared about people. He was concerned about their needs. He wasn't interested in winning friends and influencing people. He was genuinely interested in their physical and spiritual welfare. That was important to Timothy. While others might chase influence and popularity and have ambition, Timothy just cared about the people. He didn't serve to be impressive. He served because he was invested in people. Not only did he have character over recognition, care over ambition, we see Timothy had consistency over convenience. He stayed when others left. We see that in 2 Timothy chapter 4. Paul was concerned about the church at Philippi, and he wanted to send someone there to convey his concern and to get the facts. And Timothy, even though it wouldn't have been convenient, was willing to go. There were hundreds of Christians in Rome, but they were all concerned about their own stuff and what was good for them and convenient for them. It wasn't convenient for them to be concerned about others. Does that sound familiar? Things haven't changed much from the early days when the scriptures were written. The first century church, more concerned about our own needs and our own desires than other people. That wasn't Timothy. You know, as I thought about this, there are people in our world and in our community even who faithfully show up, who faithfully serve every day in places that are never going to really trend. We have teachers who do it tough, and I actually give teachers a hard time. I say, you only work 28 weeks a year and stuff like that, and I say it in jest, but in all seriousness, they're way underappreciated. And, you know, beyond the teachers, they've got this job now called learning assistants. Wow. Nobody knows who they are. They're spending time one-on-one with one single kid most of the time, investing in that with no recognition. There are carers who sit with someone who is pretty much forgotten by the rest of the world, maybe even family. They have not many friends. There are moms and dads who quietly model faith at home. I talk to families sometimes who are making sacrifices and making a hard choice sometimes to sacrifice stuff so they can stay home with kids. And they get criticized for it sometimes and told that they need to work harder, work more, and do it all. And I'm not criticizing people who were both parents work and things. A lot of times that's necessary in our day and age. But if people have decided, hey, I'm going to go a different route on that and I'm willing to sacrifice, that should be applauded, not criticized. Nobody applauds these kinds of sacrifices and service, but heaven takes notice. I'm grateful here for those who work behind the scenes. Every week on Sundays, it takes over 80 people, almost 100 people across both campuses to do what we do on Sundays. And there are way more people behind the scenes than there are up here on the platform. You figure that out. We don't have 80 people up here on the platform. Every Sunday, people serve from kids to creative, from the cafe to cameras. And that's just on Sunday. Countless people through the week are investing in caring for people. There are people who open their homes to host a life group so that people can have a safe place to come and share their struggles and to process faith and to wrestle with the things of life. You may never see them on stage, and maybe you're one of those people and we'll never see you on stage and never call out your name, but God sees you. God applauds that. What we learn from Timothy is that faithfulness is greater than fame, and character will outlast credit. Character will outlast credit. That's Timothy. Faithfulness greater than fame, care over ambition, and consistency over convenience. He goes on and he says, okay, that's Timothy. Meanwhile, I thought I should send Epaphroditus back to you. He's a true brother, co-worker, and fellow soldier, for he risked his life for the work of Christ, and he was at the point of death while doing for me what you couldn't do from far away. He says, okay, I've told you about Timothy. Now I want to tell you about Epaphroditus. Here's his resume. His resume is sacrifice over status. And the summary lines for him would have been, he's a brother, he's a co-worker, he's a soldier. And a highlight would be, he risked his life for the gospel. That's Epaphroditus' resume. If Timothy represents faithfulness over fame, Epaphroditus represents sacrifice over status. He wasn't a preacher. He wasn't a church planter. He was simply a messenger. He literally was a delivery man carrying Paul's support from Philippi to Rome, an 800-mile journey. That's what he did. And Paul honors him with these three titles. Brother, it's a man of relationship. Talks about fellowship. And then he calls him a co-worker, a partner, if you will. That talks about his function. And then he calls him a soldier. That's a person of endurance and courage, a person who's willing to fight. You know, when we think about the church, I hear people all the time talk about, well, the church is here for fellowship. Or the church should be here to serve others, and that's our function. And there's some people who really get riled up and they say, the church should be here fighting all the ills of the world and the evils of the world. And you know what? All of those are true. And Epaphroditus, well, a lot of us will focus on one of those things and fixate on it to the neglect of the others. Epaphroditus had all these things in balance. He was a guy who could maintain the relationships, who understood his responsibility, and he also exhibited great resilience in the battle. We see Epaphroditus suffering with courage. He didn't just deliver the gift. He almost died to get that done. Paul says he was ill and almost died for the work of Christ, risking his life. Where it says that he was ill and that he almost died, risking his life, the Greek word is parabamulai, and it means to gamble one's life. He bet on obedience. He bet on serving Christ by delivering the gift to Paul, and it almost cost him everything. John chapter 15, speaking of Jesus, says greater love has no one than this, that he lays down his life for his friends. That was what Epaphroditus was exhibiting. Epaphroditus believed in service beyond comfort. It would have been much more comfortable for him to chill out in Philippi. He probably could have rose up and been a leader in the church there even. But like Timothy, he was concerned about others, and particularly he was concerned about Paul. When he heard that Paul was there in prison and needed help, he wanted to be a part of the solution. He says, Paul says, celebrate these kind of servants. He tells the Philippians, welcome him in the Lord's love with great joy and give him the honor that people like him deserve. You know, we tend to honor the visible. Paul says, honor the valuable. Don't ignore the valuable. Epaphroditus not only valued service beyond comfort, he was also steadfast in the struggle. He carried the gift that others couldn't, and that helped him bridge those two worlds. He stayed the course, and he didn't quit when it got hard. You know, for Epaphroditus, faithfulness was not a feeling. He didn't say, I feel like being faithful. He made a decision to be faithful. I'm going to do it even if I don't want to. Even if I'd rather stay in bed today, I'm going to get up and I'm going to go do it. See, the gospel moves forward not through comfort, but through courage, through steadfastness. Sometimes faithfulness is just showing up. Sometimes it's holding somebody's hand or praying a prayer or bringing a meal or driving someone else to church or somewhere else they need to go. Every Sunday, we have people that wipe off a table and nobody ever sees it. We see people that, or we have people that straighten chairs and nobody ever notices it. We have people playing with toddlers right now so that you can be in here. We have people that pray and people who fix the lyrics so that we know what to sing when it comes up. And nobody even notices, unless they don't work sometimes, right? Man, we should value those people because they work a whole lot more times than they don't. Epaphroditus reminds me of our global workers. People who have sacrificed family and friends and the familiar, often even great careers, to go and humbly serve in places that are hard, often without recognition, trading comfort for chaos, often risking their life even, and not even being noticed. And they're okay with that. True significance isn't found in the spotlight, it's found in sacrifice. So what? What does all this mean for you and for me? Well, we've seen Jesus exalted, and we've seen Paul in prison. We see Timothy's faithful and Epaphroditus is sacrificial. But what about us? I think Paul's point for you and for me is pretty clear. We don't need a platform to be powerful in God's eyes. We don't need fame to make an eternal impact. You don't have to be the apostle who writes the letter. You could be the person, the friend who carries it. You don't have to be the preacher that speaks. You could be the person that's praying, that's putting power in the message. I had one of our faithful prayer warriors a couple of weeks ago. Was coming in at prayer time and ready to go back in the parenting room to pray. And he saw me and he said, hey, do a good job today. I said, hey, you pray good today so I can do a good job today. And I mean that. Because if the prayers aren't happening, if God's spirit's not moving and stuff, it doesn't matter. I can get up here and talk for hours and you'd love that, wouldn't you? We need people that are doing the praying. See, when we're faithful in the unseen, God multiplies the impact in the eternal. So what about your resume? What about your resume? If heaven was to print that today, what would it say? Would it focus on what you've done, or would it reveal who you are? Would it list positions that you've had or people that you've served? Would it highlight your accomplishments, or would it reveal your attitudes? would it read self-promoting or Christ-honoring? You know, every resume has that little section at the bottom that says referees available upon request, right? You know, I always find that remarkable that people would ask for referees because who are you going to put down there? You know you're going to put people who are going to say good stuff about you, right? We want people that are going to say the right things about us. And with the employer is hoping to find out something about you. So Paul was Timothy and Epaphroditus' referee. Their character didn't need marketing because they had witnesses of who they were. Here's the question. If God asked for references for your resume, who would he call? Would he call your life group leader? And would your life group leader say, yes, they are faithful and they're servant-hearted? Would he call your family? You know, you can't put family down usually as referees because they think they'd be biased. I think you actually might do better if you put down family. You might find out more about the person. But would your family say they're kind, they're loving, they're consistent, they show up, they're the same person at home that they are in the marketplace? Would your coworkers say they live what they believe? When a movie ends, what happens? The crowd gets up, walks out, like these people, right? Just like this message, this service is about to end, and people get up and they'll walk out. But at a movie, if you hung around, you would know that there's names that start scrolling across the screen. Those names are the people that made it happen, that made that movie, you seeing that movie, actually possible. And you may never see them on the poster or the billboards, but without them, the film doesn't happen. The Apostle Paul wrote another letter to a friend of his called Philemon. And in that letter to Philemon, he named a bunch of people. He named our sister Aphia, Archippus, Epaphras, Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, and Luke. He named all those people as co-workers, and we don't know a lot about most of those people. But Paul named them. He put them in the credits because they were valuable, because they had served. And maybe your name won't appear in a ministry highlight reel, but heaven's credits are still rolling, and your name is there. So where might God want you be calling you to serve in an unseen way? Maybe it's just to stand with someone who is struggling and listen. Maybe it's to mentor a younger believer. Or maybe it's to volunteer faithfully even when no one sees. To risk comfort for compassion, maybe. See, you don't need applause to be approved. You just need to be available. It's that simple. That was Timothy. That was Epaphroditus. You know, what if our church's resume read like the resumes of these that we just looked at today? It'd be a community marked by faithfulness over fame, service over status, sacrifice over the spotlight. That's the resume that moves heaven and multiplies hope. Catalyst, we're not a church built on celebrities. We're a community of servants. We're not built on personalities, but on participation. One of our values is that we want everyone to take part. Everybody to use their gifts and abilities that God has given them. I like to say it like this. Everyone plays. Everyone gets in the game. Imagine Catalyst being filled with Timothys and Epaphroditus's. People who serve without the spotlight. You know, I am very aware while I'm saying that, I've got a spotlight in my eyes. You know, that's only by God's grace and whatever he wants to do with me. I'm not a celebrity. I'm a servant like you. We need people who give without credit and love without limits. That's what will make us an irresistible church, to draw people to the irresistible Jesus. We need to celebrate the unseen servants among us. We need to build a culture where humility is the loudest applause. And let's be a church that is famous in heaven, even if we're unknown here on earth. I'm going to invite you to stand. And as we close, this is what I want you to take home today. Even if I'm unknown, I'll stay faithful and make Jesus known. That's what it's all about. That simple. Even if I'm unknown, imagine this. What could God do through you if it didn't matter if you got the credit? Even if I'm unknown, I'll stay faithful and make Jesus known. Father, thank you so much for the day. Thank you for Timothy and Epaphroditus and all those other people in the book of Philemon that are named but barely. And Lord, I want to thank you for all the people in this room, all these people watching online, all the people that do things that nobody ever sees. Lord, I pray that you would encourage their hearts. Remind them that they're doing it for you. Remind them that their reward is in eternity. Lord, keep them encouraged. Keep them steadfast in the struggle. Lord, when they're frustrated because maybe they do think maybe they should have been noticed a little bit, Lord, remind them that you see it all. And Lord, help us to stay faithful, even when we're unknown, so that we can focus on making Jesus known to a world that desperately needs him. In whose precious name we pray. Amen.